0702
WhatsApp Profilwe
on 072 702 1702.
Time now to say good morning to that car guy, Warren, our resident car expert, car enthusiast, Warren Tucker. Good morning, Warren. I trust you well in this rainy, dreary weather this weekend.
Come on, it's not that bad. Good morning, Drusilla. How are you doing?
I am very well, Warren. I thrive and I flourish in 28 degree weather and above. This, for me, is not good enough. So it is that bad. I insist.
Okay, well.
So food for you, Warren, really quickly, before we talk the actual reason you're here, which is, of course, giving us some motoring news. We're going to be talking electric vehicles very, very shortly. Some big announcements made around that, and taking car and maintenance repair related questions. But for you, that one food, you can go down memory lane with us, that signified the festive season, or at least Christmas lunches and feasts. Okay. For you, especially as a kid.
So for me, I spent quite a bit of time with my grandmother, and my grandmother had a sweet tooth. So definitely you'd get sweets and chocolates all year round, but there were special sweets and chocolates that came out near December. And definitely the biscuits as well. And just the general, that cooking atmosphere, that vibe that you get as a little kid, you know something is going on. And there's just stuff happening in the kitchen and just going on and that going on. That is generally how it went for me.
Yeah.
I've been scanning my brain to see if I can remember one particular thing that I'm struggling with.
Yeah. Well, the smell of baking just, permeating the house, I think, is just an absolutely lovely one. I relate to that 100%. Mm. All right, fantastic. So the real reason, the real business at hand is talking motoring news, Warren. You bring us, the fact that Audi South Africa has revealed some prices of its electric, or the prices of its electric e-tron range. They've opened up the order books and announced pricing for that e-tron vehicle range, e-tron electric vehicle range rather, which will be making an appearance in South Africa in the first quarter of next year. So soon, and very soon, is when that happens. Just give us a heads up around electric vehicle that they've announced and that they're focusing on, and of course price points.
Well, this is your brand. I hope you've placed an order. If not, I can facilitate that for you on Monday.
You would think, right? I would get paid to talk about them so much, or to gush over them so much. But yeah, great vehicles they make, 100%.
Yeah, no, Audi definitely, with their finishes and their touches on their cars, definitely good vehicles. But let's have a look at those quickly. So essentially, Audi's now entered the EV vehicle market in South Africa with a complete EV range, but you've got to have some serious cash to drive one of these. So these are luxury EV vehicles. They start from 1.9 and finish off at a whopping 3.3 million rand. And what you get in here is, obviously, this is the first, there's a first electronic vehicle in this range to wear the RS badge. So the RS is what M is to BMW. It is their performance division. So this is the first time you'll see a vehicle in the electronic or the EV range that dons this badge. And these vehicles look, obviously, these vehicles are targeted to the higher end of the market. The more affluent will be purchasing stuff like this. However, let's have a look at these vehicles and see essentially what's happening here. Audi said that by the year they would like to phase out internal combustion engines completely out of their range by the year 2026, and then get them out of markets by the year 2033.
Sure, right? Quite aggressive. So that's quite an aggressive target. Very ambitious.
Very ambitious target. And I mean, if you look at our local market, they enter in the market. I mean, you've got your i3, your Jaguar I-Pace, your Mini Cooper SE, and your Porsche taken. Also, BMW's now launched another vehicle in the electronic range, which is an X1. Those are all, you'll see them starting to come into the country fast and furious. However, we're looking, all these vehicles we look at are sort of on the higher end of the the range. And VW do make smaller, like your polo-sized electric vehicles. We're waiting for those to come into the market.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens. But back to the Audis, you know, if you look at the specs on these vehicles, all these vehicles are coming in to South Africa with a very high spec. I mean, Audi's also teamed up with Grid Cars. We've had a discussion about Grid Cars before. So Grid Cars has 280 universal charge points across the country. You'll be able to charge your vehicle at any one of these charge points. Audi will go as far as once you purchase one of these vehicles, they will come to your home and do an assessment on your electrical requirements and fit a 32-amp industrial socket onto your property to help, obviously, the charging so that the vehicle can charge to a full charge, you know, as quickly sure. as possible.
Yeah. So, and all of those things that you just laid out, as you said, quite helpful with the aggressive targets that Audi has set for itself, right? 2026
yes.
Globally, but in terms of making its entire range all electric by 2026 and then phasing out internal combustion engines in most markets by 2033. So it's all happening very, very quickly. Plans are being made to make this viable for customers and potential consumers. Warren, when we talk about still, do we still have major concerns or material concerns around the range and the utility of electric vehicles? Or are we assured now, you know, but in the market that actually this is all viable? And of course, the requisite infrastructure is there for South Africans who do drive long distances, who want to take a road trip from or need to drive from Johannesburg to Durban, for instance, or, you know, do interprovincial travel. In the face of, you know, a public transport system or a transport system that doesn't necessarily make this an option most a lot of the time.
Well, if we look at the systems currently, and we look obviously, the rest of the world is adapting this a lot quicker than what we are. But remember, if you take a country like the UK, where or you look at the United Kingdom, there are quite a few electric vehicles there, but the distances that you travel in are not as great as South Africa. So with regards to the Audi, you're looking at about 442 kilometers on a charge.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a 7.2 kilowatt socket at your on your premises at home, it'll take around 13 hours to fully charge this vehicle. Okay, there are quick chargers that obviously you'll use with Grid Cars. They haven't given a charge rate on that as yet. But remember that with all these, you know, all these vehicles that are these electric vehicles that are coming in, you know, people seem to forget one thing. There is a huge infrastructure around oil that has been built over a very long time. And I know that these electric vehicles are coming, but I can't see the oil infrastructure just laying, you know, falling over and dying. You know, that infrastructure is there. This whole economy is built around oil and fuel and petrol and fossil fuels. So, yes, we want to get cleaner. Yes, we want all these electric vehicles and the rest of it. But the electric vehicles still ultimately get charged from burning either a fossil fuel or there's nuclear, or in some cases, you've got solar power. So there are trade-offs here. We've got to look at those trade-offs and see. I've always said that for me, the quickest replacement to what we currently have is the hydrogen vehicle because it's very easy to convert a filling station from fuel to hydrogen fuel. And it's a similar system to what we've got right now. You'd have a specific range on the hydrogen. You'd fill, and it's still an electric vehicle. You'd come through, you'd fill up your hydrogen, and you'd be able to do X amount of kilos on that fill-up, and then you fill up again, you know? And it's 5 minutes of your time at the filling station, and you're on your way. And the only byproduct from that vehicle is water.
So, yeah, I guess it begs the question of why. Why, you know, exploration or investment into hydrogen vehicles is not looked into further? Why there's no further or heavier emphasis on that? Any insights regarding that?
Well, look, you must remember, electric cars is not a new thing.
Sure.
Electric battery operated vehicles is not new. 1920s, 30s, 40s, definitely around. The thing is, the battery technology has obviously improved dramatically, and that's basically allowed manufacturers to re-enter the space with your lithium batteries. And also remember, look, the kind of performance you're going to get out of an electric motor. I mean, if you look at the e-tron 55, that's got a 265 kilowatts of power. That's 561 newton meters of torque. That's supercar territory. I mean, there's another vehicle in here which has the Sportback 55. That's 320 kilowatts. That's 808 newtons. That vehicle will do 0 to 100 in 4.5 seconds. That's faster than most supercars out there, most internal combustion engined supercars. So there are definitely efficiencies, but these cars come at the price. Obviously, the price to purchase, they are heavier because of the batteries, and you've got your charging situation. So again, you know, the industry is obviously trying to go green, and they are looking for ways to go green using the electric vehicle. Now, the electric vehicle itself, obviously, I mean, we all know Elon Musk has his Tesla. The other day, there was an issue with one of the servers at Tesla, and their vehicles outside of the plant wouldn't move. So you've got those situations also, those scenarios where these vehicles are tied very heavily to networks, infrastructure, software, and when the software goes buggy, you end up with problems. I mean, imagine waking up one morning and the server's down at the head office and you can't drive to work because your car refuses to open.
The joys of the Internet of Things, right? Hyper-connectivity. Exactly. really interesting. So what you've alluded to as well is, you know, incredible strides of the last few decades in battery technology. And I'm guessing with this heavier and added focus and even recent breakthroughs in battery technology, things are only going to get better. And hopefully we see that trickle down effect happening in the lower and middle price range in terms of the car market, because, you know, not just manufacturers trying to go green, but countries, the globe. We've just come out of COP26. We're trying to look at the future of energy and how we consume and how we move, and transport is a huge factor in all of that. So I guess we'll have to keep watching the space.
Definitely. I mean, let's think about it this way. More than 100 years ago, everybody got around on horseback or horse and cart. The internal combustion engine was developed by Carl Benz, and this was only sold to the super, super, super wealthy. You had to be, you know, really wealthy to afford a motor vehicle. And in steps Henry Ford with his Model T, and he basically makes that car so affordable that the Model T Ford basically sold in millions during its time of production. And that's the car that basically, those are the vehicles that developed what we know now, motorways. It also opened up suburbs because people didn't have to live in cities. They could stay outside of the city, travel into the city. Now, there was that hump that needed to be financed initially. Mm. So once you're over that hump, the vehicles become cheaper, and then it becomes financed for the masses. If you look at, for example, the Beetle was Germany's car for the people, and it was built around very specific spec. It had to have X amount of cost. It needed to have fuel usage at X amount, and this was all done in order to facilitate or make this vehicle cost effective and easy for the man in the street to purchase and use.
Yeah.
So we're going to head that way, I suppose, with the electric cars, but again, it's financing that hump.
So it's all about critical mass and, of course, those inflection points, right, where it all becomes available and feasible for the greater populations. Warren, let's take a question now, as we do every time we speak to you. We take those motoring and car repair related questions. But Simon's on the line from Pretoria with a question around technicians for electric vehicles. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Simon. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is that you're talking about software, and I just wanted to know, are we training enough engineers and technicians and mechanics to make sure that if we have a problem with one of this, are we going to be able to repair it? Because software at the moment is difficult to get people who understand it, how it works, as compared to electric.
All right. Thanks, Simon. Warren, your answer there?
Well, as far as Audi goes with this, with these vehicles, and all the other manufacturers would definitely follow suit, Audi has handpicked 10 dealerships. Obviously, there'd be training, specific training that would go into these dealerships to manage these vehicles. Obviously, you've got the big muscle of Audi in South Africa. Audi's got a solid footprint here. And definitely manufacturers are taking this very serious. There is training that does happen, especially BMW with the i3. They went on an extensive training regime with their mechanics so that when the vehicles would come in, people would have knowledge around those systems. Look, it's an electrical vehicle, so it's got very few moving parts. Your brakes and your aircon fans, those kind of things, that's pretty standard. But when it comes to the motor itself and problems, it's essentially an electric vehicle. And you need to understand electronics or how these things are wired, because these are high-voltage systems. If you touch on the wrong place, that will be the last time you touch anything.
Oh, Warren. I love your use of words. That'll be it. Sorry, chaps. But of course, I think to Simon's point, as dealers and as manufacturers roll out their vehicles, the requisite training will come into play. And it's going to be an interesting challenge, right, for those independent car repair shops in our right to repair moment, where we also have the choice as consumers to have our car repaired wherever we choose to. So from that perspective, in terms of warranties and just making sure our vehicles run optimally, it's going to be another interesting area to focus on as time goes on. Now, Warren, another quick story that you flagged for our attention was Chery offering 1 million kilometer engine warranty in South Africa. Sounds incredibly difficult to do, a whole 1 million kilometer engine warranty. For what?
Well, if you're a sales rep, you need to be looking at this one quite closely, okay? Because up till now, your Hyundai and your Kias have basically led this. I mean, Hyundai has got a 7-year, 200,000-kilometer powertrain warranty, and Kia's got a 5-year, unlimited-kilometer general warranty on their vehicles. So up till now, those two have been the market leaders. Everybody else sort of plays catch up once stuff like this happens. So with this 1 million kilometer warranty, so essentially it's split into two. So the car comes standard with a 5-year, 150,000 kilometer factory warranty. And after that 5 years, then you will be given another 5 years and a massive 850 kilometer warranty, right? Which is focused on the engine. Okay, now the catch here is that warranty only applies to the first owner of the vehicle.
Sure, there had to be that kind of catch.
Yep, that warranty only applies to the first owner. So if you sell the vehicle, the 5-year 150-kilometer warranty stays with the car. But the other 5-year 850 kilometers stays with you, the original owner of the vehicle. Mm. And then the car's got to be serviced at a Chery dealership, okay? It's got to have its services there. It's got to have all original Chery parts in order for you to keep it. So as far as the right-to-own system goes, this vehicle would have to stay within the network in order for it to keep that warranty.
How long a period do you think it would take you, Warren Tucker, to burn through or maybe crawl through that 850,000 kilometer warranty or the rest of the remainder of that warranty, honestly speaking?
They say that people generally do over a 5 to 10 year period, 5 years, 100,000, 120. Some people do 200,000 Ks. Some people in about 6 or 7 years might do 300,000 kilometers. Depends on what it is, your job, what it is that you do. Given the fact that we've got a very interesting dynamic when it comes to public transport, I don't know who's going to do 1 million Ks. I mean, this might be the safest bet anybody's ever made in terms of well, here's $1 million. If you can do it, you know, we'll cover the warranty, X, Y, and Z. But yeah, I'd love for a sales rep to call in. I know that there's sales reps that do massive mileage. And maybe this is something they'd be interested in.
The safest bet on the planet. Yeah, that's exactly how I would put it. My goodness, sounds incredibly outrageous. But yeah, I wonder if anybody's head has been turned, if anybody has been enticed by reports of this warranty. Fantastic stuff. Warren Tucker, thank you so much for your time this morning. I always enjoy your insights. Warren Tucker, of course, you can find him online at
The Car Guy Warren.
Mm-hmm. Which platform is that?
Mm-hmm. That's on Twitter. You can find me there. Any questions, anything that you'd like to know, please send through a message. I do endeavor to answer as many of them as I can. If I haven't answered yet, I am on my way to you. It's just people have a lot of car questions, lots and lots of car questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your time and always taking the time on a Saturday morning to respond to those questions. That Car Guy Warren on Twitter. That's where you can find him. Warren Tucker, our resident car expert.